Informing America's farmers and ranchers. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
All right, welcome into another episode of AOA, Agriculture of America. Thank you for joining us. Great to have you along. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk to Kurt Blades from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers here in just a moment. In segment two, we're going to talk the use of AI on the farm with Kit Barron from FBN. Markets with Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing coming up in segment three. And we'll have a conversation with James Glick, the Executive Director of the Plant-Based Products Council, coming up in segment four of today's show. Brought to you by Cenex, their premium diesels and premium lubricants. Trust your local experts. Learn more at Cenex.com. Let's get right into it. Let's look at the latest equipment sales numbers out from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Joining us now, Kurt Blades with AEM. Kurt, thanks for being with us. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, let's talk about the latest run of sales numbers for the U.S. and Canada for the second straight month. It looks like 100-plus horsepower ag tractor sales increased in the U.S. Let's start there. What were some of those highlights from the recent U.S. data?
Well, as you know, we at the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, we put forward tractor and combine report every month. We've been doing it for about the last 30 years, and it's gets to be pretty interesting when you compare those month over month and the year over year. And in this case, in month of March for this year, we did see a growth in 100-plus horsepower tractors. We continued to see some positive spots in the market. However, on the other side, we're kind of seeing softness in other spots in the market, specifically smaller horsepower tractors, those tractors under 40 horsepower. I mean, there's still real softness in that market. We saw a little bit of a decline in combines this year, as well as self-articulated four-wheel drive. I think both of those two cases, though, I think we're looking at maybe some timing issues where they were so strong last year that we're just kind of coming off of some record numbers. So it's a mixed bag, I guess, if we look at the March numbers this year.
I was going to say, kind of a mixed bag, and you mentioned, you know, with those elevated numbers we got last year. I mean, I know there's some folks out there that are maybe a little worried about the overall ag economy, but a lot of times, to your point, you know, we've kind of framed it up. We had, you know, record, you know, numbers throughout the ag economy last year and the year before. So kind of pulling things back to a little more normalcy, so to speak, maybe here throughout the equipment market.
Well, if there's a such thing as normal, yeah, I think it's fair question. But I think we, you know, water tends to find a level. I mean, that's just it. We've had some really strong numbers for the last 3 years in the ag equipment market, and so, you know, at some point, then the short term needs to get a little bit satisfied. I think that might be where we are in some of these classes. But then you, when you look out long term, I mean, there's just so much excitement for the ag market. Yeah, we've got some storm clouds. We're in green planting season right now. We have some questions about trade and biofuels and everything like that. But boy, long term, there's a lot of optimism out there. So I think that's where you see that reflected in those kind of traditional ag tractors, where farmers recognize, hey, I'm approaching planting season, and you know, this year is maybe a little bit down from next year, but the next 5 years we're going to continue to be in business as a farm bill gets passed. So I think it's a mixed bag, but overall a positive attitude in ag country as it relates to tractors and combines.
Definitely. And something too that this thought just came into my head, you know, you think about under 100 horsepower tractors. I mean, Kurt, we saw such a boom in that market during COVID. A lot of folks were saying, oh, I want a small utility tractor to do work around my operation. And now that we're largely out of the pandemic, maybe that's something in that sector too. I'm hypothesizing a little bit, but that's another thought that just kind of crossed my mind here as we're talking.
Well, I think without question, that market just blew up during the pandemic when people had a little bit more disposable income and weren't traveling. So they were investing back in their properties. You know, that appears to be, you know, again, that market kind of got satisfied to make those numbers look really, really high. But now you got people that have a taste for small tractors. And at some point, those tractors are going to need to be replaced. So I think we entered into a new level. It might take a while for that to catch up back to some of those numbers and those levels. But I think you're absolutely on to something. That small horsepower tractor market is going to be a long-term positive play.
How about up in Canada? I know the Canadian market largely follows the U.S. market, kind of lockstep in to some degree. What were some of the Canadian numbers like for last month?
Typically, it's almost, you know, hand in glove, U.S. and Canada on the markets. Some things a little bit higher, some things a little bit lower. One thing that is different in Canada versus the United States is articulated four-wheel drive tractors. We're not talking about a lot of units there because, you know, the overall market of that is not huge. But that saw some sizable growth in Canada, about 30% above this time last year. And for the year, approaching 11% up in that particular class. So again, we're not talking about a lot of numbers, but that's a notable increase when you consider that those articulated four-wheel drive tractors are not cheap. I mean, you have to feel good about the future of your business to make those investments. And there's a couple of new products on the market that I think are maybe driving some of that demand, or certainly driving the interest in those big tractors. And that's going to be a fun one to pay attention to for the next few months and years.
We're talking with Kurt Blades, Senior Vice President of the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Kurt, you know, you mentioned new products on the market. There's been a lot of new products out, a lot of new collaborations and company partnerships announced here recently too. There is a lot of excitement in that respect here in this ag market right now, isn't there?
Well, I'll tell you what, it couldn't be more interesting and more exciting time to be in ag equipment and precision agriculture. You know, you talk about some of these new partnerships, or you talk about new technology or new products that are on the market, and just really what we're starting to see unleashed with the data that is being collected on machines and implemented in the fields. Man, it's really exciting. I mean, it's going to, you know, who knows what the next 5 years are going to look like for us. I can tell you, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I brought that up because I did see you were talking about that on your LinkedIn page a little bit, Kurt. But I bring it up for a reason, because you're right. It's going to be an exciting next few years ahead for sure. Real quick, Ag on the Mall event. That is coming up in Washington, D.C. here just a few weeks away. This is always a really, really great event. Can you give us a quick rundown?
Well, when you talk about exciting times in agriculture, it's really fun to show modern technology to folks that aren't used to seeing it. And that Washington, D.C. market is one of those that we love to showcase equipment to. So on May 6th, 7th, and 8th of this year, we got 25 different manufacturers and 30 different trade associations are going to be descending on the National Mall with some of the latest and greatest technologies, really talking to policymakers and regulators and the general public, showcasing the latest of technology to an audience that's not used to seeing this equipment. And what's really fun is when you talk about precision agriculture and data and all the technology that's into that, and how we're growing food for a growing world in a very sustainable manner, that audience is incredibly receptive. And our timing couldn't be better, because obviously we're talking about farm bills and rural broadband and infrastructure. So, man, the more we can influence those policymakers with positive stories about agriculture in rural America, it's a win.
I couldn't agree more. We'll leave it at that. You can learn more online, aem.org. Kurt Blades, Senior Vice President at the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Kurt, thanks for joining us on AOA. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you much.
All right, we'll be back with more AOA brought to you by Cenex right after this. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, where we take a close look at the benefits of cooperative ownership. Every week, we'll host a new guest and discuss how you can get the most from working with your local cooperative. And we'll learn why farmers and ranchers just like you choose cooperatives to help them persevere and prosper. Tune in each Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
We're with Bridget, whose husband won't be home for months, and whose daughter is due any day. We're with Mike, who's leaving home to protect his family and yours. We're with all service members and their families who need community, connection, and maybe a bit of magic. Are you with them? Learn more at USO.org today. We're with Liam after his fourth military move, when being new is starting to get old. We're with Tara during the holidays, when she misses home the most. We're with all service members and their families who need connection, comfort, and a home away from home. Are you with them? Learn more at USO.org today.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. Hard work, long hours, and extreme conditions aren't new. Cenex Premium Diesel meets the demands of today's toughest engines. Premium diesel to keep you going. Learn more at Cenex.com. Well, 1 year ago, FBN launched their AI advisor, Norm. How does artificial intelligence fit on the farm? Going to make your job easier to some degree and more. We're going to talk about the use of AI on the farm and learn more about 1 year of Norm. Joining us now from FBN Farmers Business Network, Kit Barron is with us here on AOA. Kit, thanks for joining us. Hope you're doing well.
I sure am, Jesse. Thanks so much for having me. Always excited to talk about what we're doing with Norm over at FBN.
Well, let's talk about this and AI use on the farm and 1 year of Norm, your guys' AI advisor, as I mentioned. Let's just start. What have you guys learned at FBN with 1 year of using Norm now, letting farmers and ranchers use Norm for 1 year? Let's start there.
Well, if you all remember, you know, about a year and a half ago, GPT came out with their ChatGPT tool and really took the world by storm. And there were a lot of novelty cases in the early days. And we wanted to really understand what this exciting new technology could do for farmers. And so we were quick to release a version of GPT that we call Norm after Dr. Norman Borlaug, pioneer of wheat breeding technology. And launched, as you said, about a year ago. In those early days, we had trained Norm on a variety of agronomic data, pretty general data to start out with. But over the months, we started seeing the types of questions that farmers were asking really shift. So people were asking a lot about weather during planting, a lot about how to treat certain pests and disease and deal with different types of weed pressure on the field. Folks were asking about planting dates and harvest dates and dry down. And so as we learned from the types of questions farmers were asking, we've been adding new capabilities. So now Norm knows how to knows the weather in your area, knows the soil moisture content and average soil temperature in your county. Norm can even do recommendations on nitrogen programs. So we're really taking a cue from the farmer users. And really trying to invest in the types of questions that they're most interested in getting AI support from.
Well, and it's really interesting how, you know, just this explosion of AI, artificial intelligence, is really making noise throughout our entire world, not just in agriculture, but to your point, farmers, you know, asking different questions like that. Let's think about this in terms of, you know, in 1 year's time, how AI is being used on the farm. Is a lot of it more just question-based? Is that what you guys are seeing, or are there other applications of AI on the farm kit?
Well, one of the things that we've been really excited to release recently is a real step change in the quality of the answers we're getting from the AI. And for anybody that's ever purchased or mixed or applied crop protection, you know there's a tremendous amount of information stored in these product labels. These are 70, 80 page documents in some cases that tell you how much product to apply, how to mix it, when to spray it, how to spray it, what it can be mixed with, what it can't be mixed with, et cetera, et cetera. And these documents are really hard to go through. And so we just 2 weeks ago launched an update on Norm that allows farmers to ask structured or any kind of question about product labels. And Norm's doing a fantastic job of providing accurate responses. So that, again, is, to your point, very much question and answer related. Where we see this going is actually having Norm do more of the question asking. So one of the things that the more information Norm has about a farmer's operation, the better the recommendations. And so you can, you know, knowing kind of where the farm is based, what they're growing, perhaps what the rotation is, what time of the year, you know, what the crop status is. What are some of the practices they used? You know, are they tilling? Are they doing strip till? Are they irrigated? You know, so, but it's a lot for a farmer to have to put all that information in up front. And so we're working on having an interactive series of questions that Norm will kind of get the information he needs first, and then provide the kind of best possible answer in return. So actually, Norm is going to be doing more of the question asking than before.
Now, thinking about this, as you guys looked through a lot of the data and more and looked to shape Norm and formulate Norm as an AI advisor, what's maybe a few of the most unique things that farmers have asked Norm? Can you maybe share any of those highlights for us here, Kit? I'm sure lots of different questions. Has there been anything that stood out as very unique in a year's time?
Well, you know, I get most excited about kind of high quality agronomy questions and answers. You know, when people are asking, like, how do we treat, you know, glyphosate resistant water hemp, you know, on my cornfield in eastern Iowa? That's the kind of question when Norm hits that right, I'm very excited. Or give me a step by step instructions for mixing S metallic chlor in the sprayer. So those are the ones that I find kind of most interesting from a development perspective. But that said, there's some really novel questions that people are asking. We've had people ask for poems about their farm. You've asked people and asked Norm to tell them a joke. We actually even had somebody ask Norm to help him write his wedding vows. Not sure he ever used them, but so it's always interesting to see what people ask. But, you know, what we really see is a spike kind of towards the evenings. You can tell people if, you know, maybe their agronomist has gone to bed or something, and they got some after hours questions about a product that they're purchasing on the FBN website and want to make sure they're making the right confident decision. They've got the right application rates. They understand tank mixes, things like that. And that's really where Norm is excelling today.
We're talking with Kit Barron from FBN here today on AOA about AI in agriculture and the 1 year of their AI advisor, Norm. Let's talk the future, Kit. I would have to think the future looks pretty limitless and exciting at this point, right?
It's really exciting to think about you know, how fast this space is moving. And we're trying to stay on top of all the advances, and we're testing on all the different models. But a couple of the ideas that we've been kind of contemplating that could come down the road, or, you know, imagine having opening up Norm to a camera, and you know, is this tar spot? Is this you know, frog eye leaf spot? Is this you know, gray leaf spot? And having Norm not only diagnose what the issue is, and then recommend a solution based on what the camera is seeing in the field. So that's kind of one application that we get excited about, is that combination of the visual AI with the agronomic recommendation engine. Another thing that we've recently been experimenting with and just rolled out to our sales team is SMS norms. And this doesn't sound like a big deal, but the ability to when you're in your truck, being able to talk on SMS and have a conversation with your agronomic advisor while you're driving around or maybe in the cab of your tractor, that's pretty exciting as well. So there's a kind of voice aspect as well. And then finally, you know, right now it's about questions and answers, but you can imagine in your FBN is working with growers to provide agronomic recommendations for almost a decade now. You can imagine having kind of personalized agronomic plans down the road where the AI is really helping you, based on what your goals are, kind of optimize a full suite, soup to nuts agronomic plan. And so that might be something that we see down the road, certainly not today and not probably not tomorrow, but a couple of years from now, I think it's not a stretch to see a world where you could have a kind of high quality, personalized AI powered agronomic recommendation on inputs for your operation.
Well, Kit, if farmers want to learn more about Norm, they want to test out Norm as an AI advisor or anything else you guys are doing at FBN, I know they can find all of that info online very easily. Where can they get more details?
That's right. FBN.com / Norm. Easy to remember. So just go there and you can test Norm out. It's free to use for FBN members. So create a membership that's free as well. And you're off to the races. And while you're at it, you can check out our best in class farm finance. We've got a Zillow type tool for farmland as well. If you want to evaluate the value of your farm using agronomic intelligence. And then we also have an online store that sells all sorts of crop inputs and animal pharmaceuticals. So Norm is really there to be a guide throughout the FBN experience. So I encourage everybody to check it out. And if you have feedback, please share it. There's a link at the bottom of the Norm page that helps share, what have you liked about it? What would you like it to do? What's not working? Because it is still an experiment. We're still learning a lot. And certainly have to keep that in mind as we're testing out this new technology.
Great thoughts, Kit. Before we let you go, anything final you'd want to share with folks?
I'd just say, we're in an unprecedented stage of this technology. We've been hearing about AI for decades now, but it really seems to be here. And our mission here at FBN is to help find new ways for making this exciting new tool accessible, easy to use, and reliable on the farm. So I really appreciate all the folks who've been testing Norm out and giving us feedback. And encourage your listeners to give it a shot.
Well, you learn more online, FBN.com. With that, Kit Barron, FBN Farmers Business Network, thanks for joining us talking AI on the farm. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me, Jesse.
All right, coming up next here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Lubricants. Trust your local experts at Cenex or learn more at Cenex.com. Markets with Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing on the way right after this.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
You're listening to AOA. I'm Jody Heemstra with agricultural market information from the American Ag Network. The 7-day forecast for the Corn Belt has possible totals from 2 to 4 inches of rain, that falling in Missouri, Iowa, and into western Illinois. That'll likely stall field work in those areas for a bit. Missouri has already planted nearly half of its intended corn acres, while major producers in Iowa and Illinois sit at 13 and 11% completed with planting, respectively. Monday's USDA crop progress report revealed corn planting at 12% done. That's slightly above the 5-year average. average pace in the U.S. Monday's inspection report showed a large 63.9 million bushels of corn inspected for export last week. That brings the yearly total to over 26% higher than last year. Soybeans planting now 8% complete in the U.S. That's exactly double the five-year average pace. Arkansas and Louisiana lead the pack at over 42% done, while big producers Iowa and Illinois are currently at 8 and 11% planted with soybeans, respectively. Soybean inspections last week were decent at 16 million bushels, but for the year, inspections are running 18% lower than a year ago, with USDA looking for only a 14% decline. Wheat, with an active weather pattern suggested for the next 2 weeks in the U.S., we could see wheat set back a bit, but for the first time in a while, the wheat markets have traded above the 50-day moving average. The very dry Black Sea areas, however, are expected to remain too dry through the first week of May. Supporting wheat early Tuesday was Monday's crop progress report. That showed a 5 percentage point drop in the winter wheat crop to 50% good to excellent. In addition, that portion of the crop rated as poor to very poor rose by 3 points to 16%. That's a check at market information from the American Ag Network. I'm Jody Heemstra.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. Cenex can help you determine the right high-quality premium lubricants to keep equipment protected for the long haul. Trust your local experts at Cenex or visit cenex.com for more information. Well, it's time to take a look at the markets. Had a good start to the week. Looking like we might have a little bit of follow through here on Tuesday. What's the picture look like here in this grain and livestock market trade and more? Joining us for a conversation, it's always great to talk with Naomi Bloom with Total Farm Marketing. Naomi, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Oh, doing fantastic. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, we saw a really good, past couple of days, honestly, the grain markets, Naomi. In Monday, you know, pretty much green on the screen across the board. That's not something that we've really seen much of here in recent memory, it feels like. And maybe trying to follow through a little bit Tuesday, I guess, just as you look at the overall picture in the grains, wheat maybe trying to be the leader here. What's your thoughts here as you look at things right now?
Yeah, so yesterday we did see some short covering in the corn, soybean, and wheat market. It was led by wheat with more flare-ups happening with Ukraine, Russia. And so markets saw the short covering prices yesterday and last night for corn, soybeans, and wheat all hit some short-term technical resistance areas on the charts. They're struggling to get above those technical resistance points today. We need some new, fresh, bullish news to get that to occur. Otherwise, prices now pretty quiet, nearly just unchanged from yesterday's close. What I'm watching is closing prices today. If corn and bean and wheat prices close negative, then to me it says that we're going to continue to trade in a sideways to slightly lower price pattern into the end of the week. And one thing to be aware of is that on Friday is May option expiration for the grain markets. And a lot of times, prices have a tendency to work just a little bit lower into May option expiration, along with next week being first notice day for May grains. So it feels, though, here's the optimistic part, it feels like the market's trying to build a base, feels like we're trying to build a base for a spring low, but we just don't have that catalyst quite yet for a rally. So things might be quiet for another week or two.
Well, and I'm gonna pick on you a little bit. I saw on your X account, the X Twitter, whatever we want to call it, you posted something yesterday looking at when is the quote-unquote summer high for corn. So you mentioned maybe building a base, maybe a little optimism. Talk about what you were sharing on social media yesterday. I mean, with this corn market, largely, Naomi, this corn market's felt very sideways, very blah to me, and I'm wondering, you know, I think a lot of farmers are trying to find some enthusiasm, especially in this corn market right now.
Oh, absolutely. So what I put on Twitter yesterday, it was a chart looking at the last 24 years to try to indicate when did July futures for corn futures have that price high. So the time frame I looked at was April 1st until first notice day for the July contract, which is at the end of June. And so the biggest takeaway is that out of the past 24 years, the price high for July corn futures 15 times has occurred during the month of June. And 5 times it happened in May, 4 times that price high came in April. But the big, you know, crux of what I was trying to express was, you know, hey, if the market has this push higher into spring, you got to be ready to capitalize on it, because there's still folks who are holding corn in the bin and they need to know when they're going to pull the trigger and price it and do that final pricing on old crop. And then that correlates also with new crop cash sales as well. And the time frame in June, it's a mixed bag. It is sporadic throughout all of the month, but a lot of times that high will come in the first 2 or 3 weeks of June. So be ready for that. You know, there's kind of an old saying, make sure you've got your grain priced by Father's Day. And I think that rings true. So keep that in mind as far as making sure you're pulling the trigger, because it's going to be the hardest time in June to pull the trigger. Some people are going to be finishing with planting. Some people are going to be looking at their crop not growing perfectly in their field. Emotionally, it can be a hard time. So you've just got to be disciplined with strategy and be ready to pull the trigger when the opportunity presents itself.
Yeah, I think about being disciplined with strategy and doing your best to keep a tab on what's happening. You mentioned this, you know, in the opening response about first notice day coming up and options expiration, things like that. There's various events going on in these grain markets here the next few weeks during the very busy time of year for spring planting that I feel like sometimes we could maybe get a little complacent with, as we're focused on putting a crop in the ground, maybe not necessarily paying too much attention to what's going on in the markets, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and we see that year after year. And this year, I just feel like I'm going to be a little bit more vocal and encouraging. I might even get out my mom voice and say, hey, this is the time to be pulling the trigger. Make sure you're using those price rallies as opportunities to get the sales made. Even when it's emotionally and mentally the hardest time, that's a lot of times when your price action and your price high can occur. So you got to be ready.
We are talking markets with Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing here today on AOA. Naomi, as you look at these grain charts, is there one complex over another that maybe stands out to you as a little more worrisome than another? I've felt that way about soybeans as of late, but maybe you have a different opinion there as you kind of look at the charts right now.
When I see the charts, I'm seeing a lot of range trades. So the range trade for corn is sideways. The range trade right now for soybeans is a downward channel, but we were able to pretty much test the February lows earlier this week, and they've held. So no matter what, though, these markets are lacking fresh fundamental news to get the rally to happen. So, you know, people are already thinking, well, hey, we're going to see rain this week throughout the Midwest. Surely there's a planting delay. And here's where I have to say, the market doesn't care quite yet about planting delay because they know the American farmer, if you get 1 week, you can get a third of the crop planted. So, you know, with the charts, the one thing else to remember is that the more a market will trade in a sideways pattern or a quiet pattern, the bigger the price breakout potential can be down the road. So for corn, from a technical standpoint, I do have optimism for a summer rally. Beans, fundamentally, we're kind of lagging there. You know, we don't have that export sales news to propel us higher. We're expecting, you know, more acres this spring to get planted. So beans might be the follower in the complex for now, with corn being the leader ultimately is kind of where my thought action is at.
Thinking about, you know, that demand picture too and where things are at and thinking about shifting over to new crop. I mean, how much are we looking at new crop marketing? I know you mentioned this earlier. A lot of guys still have grain sitting in the bin, guys and gals, for old crop. And they might not even necessarily be thinking about new crop marketing right now. But I'd have to think that's something you got to keep in the back of your mind as well with some of these price levels.
Oh, absolutely. So again, on that time frame of some kind of a summer rally, beans also, like corn, a lot of times your high prices come in the month of June. So thinking about new crop, what I'd encourage folks to do for corn and beans both is call your elevator or to whomever you want to sell to and get target orders working now. So what I'm eyeballing for November beans, there still is a gap on the chart from late December, and that gap would be filled if the November beans could get up to 1244.5. So in general, like the 1250 area is going to be resistance for November beans. So I'd get some orders working at that 1240, 1245 area for the November contract. On December corn, same thought notion, get orders working that if we can get some kind of a summer rally, your orders need to be in and price point ahead of time, because you know how it works. We'll be up for 2 or 3 days on a big push higher, and then it comes crashing down as quick as it went up. So on corn, Deese corn, there's a little baby gap on the chart also from late December. That gap is filled if we get to 503. So if it was me, I would put my price order at 498 just to make sure you're getting under that $5 price point. But from a fundamental standpoint, we're still dealing with 2 billion bushel carryout, so it's going to be hard for the market to have a fundamental reason to get above $5. But I do feel like we can get real close up to that $5 price point. But you got to have the order in ahead of time in order to make sure the sale gets done.
Well, of course, so got to remember that risk of trading in futures and options can be substantial, and make sure you know those risks involved. Naomi, real quick, livestock cattle look like they're trying to get a little more follow through on Tuesday after that friendly cattle on feed report back on Friday.
Yeah, loving that price action here today. So with the market, I looked at the longer term cattle charts, and with the correction we had from last week, the cattle market and feeder cattle tested the longer term uptrending line. It's held. Prices bouncing higher today. We are fundamentally supported still by tight supplies, there is no doubt. But now the question forward is going to be, where is the domestic demand and where is the export demand? So all eyes on Thursday morning's weekly export sales report, and we're going to see how demand starts to gear up domestically here heading into Memorial weekend at the end of May and for summer grilling as well. But yeah, it's been looking nice. It's been a real good price recovery bounce after that sell-off we had.
Folks can learn more online at totalfarmmarketing.com. With that, Naomi Bloom, thanks so much for joining us on AOA. It's always good to talk with you, Naomi. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, Naomi Bloom there with Total Farm Marketing joining us here on AOA. Brought to you by Cenex Premium Greases and Premium Lubricants. Learn more at Cenex.com. We'll wrap the show with James Glick from the Plant-Based Products Council. He joins us next on AOA.
A promise is potent. Born of intention, fueled by commitment, it's seeing things through, always showing up. And we know a thing or two about promises here at Susan G. Komen. Over 40 years ago, we locked arms with you toward one vision: a world without breast cancer. By investing in life-saving research and standing up for patient rights, we are shifting the system so all people everywhere get the care they deserve. Because if you've just been diagnosed and don't know where to turn, we've got you. If you can't afford the treatment you need, we've got you. And if you are driven to raise money to honor the best friend you've just lost, we have a place for you here. Because of you, we're supporting those who need help today while tirelessly searching for tomorrow's cures. Ending breast cancer needs all of us. Visit Komen.org and be a part of the Susan G. Komen community today.
Hi, I'm Jenny Garth. I've loved and cared for rescue animals since I was a little girl growing up on a farm in Illinois. My pets have always been some of the most important members of my family. My friends at American Humane have been helping animals for over 140 years. Adopting an animal in need can help save a life and add a new member to your family. Since 1981, American Humane has celebrated Adopt a Dog Month each October in an effort to help the estimated 3 to 4 million animals waiting in shelters every year to get the loving forever home that they deserve. I urge you to consider fostering or adopting a shelter pet and to support the noble mission of American Humane. Together, we can make a significant difference in the lives of these loving creatures. For more information, please check out AmericanHumane.org.
This is Around the Table, where we explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, we're talking about distracted driving with Lisa Kahns, a traffic safety and advocacy director for the Minnesota Safety Council, and Taylor Kipples, transportation safety specialist with CHS. Lisa, what is distracted driving and why do people need to be concerned about it?
We are right in the middle of Distracted Driving Awareness Month throughout the nation, and so it's so important to be focusing on the task at hand, which is driving. So it doesn't matter if you're behind the wheel of a vehicle or if you're behind the wheel of a piece of machinery, it's very important to have your brain in the game, your eyes on the road, and your hands on the wheel. In our state, unfortunately, thousands of crashes are due to distracted driving, and unfortunately, nationwide, over 3,500 people lost their lives last year.
Taylor, how does CHS address distracted driving?
At CHS, safety is one of our core values. We strive to put the well-being of our people, customers, communities first every day. CHS is one of the largest private fleets in America. We have 32,000 commercial motor vehicles, as well as drivers covering approximately 100 million miles each year. We provide CHS transportation drivers with safety trainings. These trainings include guidance on how to eliminate distractions while driving, as well as how to drive defensively, so our drivers are equipped to protect themselves against distracted drivers.
Lisa, how could farmers and ranchers avoid distractions while they are driving?
Let's think about driving as behind the wheel of a vehicle or behind the wheel of a piece of equipment. It's important to use and forbid cell phone use. Really keep engaged in the task at hand. And that's the same with ATVs and tractors. Another thing is develop and implement safety zones. There's places within what you're doing in your business that are just unsafe with many different pieces of potentially hazardous equipment and materials. So develop a safety zone where phones can be used.
We've been talking with Lisa Kahns from the Minnesota Safety Council and Taylor Kipples from CHS here on Around the Table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted card to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your card donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted card.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. Not all grease is created equal. Cenex premium greases are made with high-quality ingredients to provide durable protection. Learn more at Cenex.com. Well, right now, we want to catch up with the Plant-Based Products Council. They just had a conference a few weeks back in Omaha, Nebraska. Here to tell us more about that and catch up on some of the priorities for the PBPC in 2024. Their executive director, James Glick, is with us. James, thanks so much for joining us on AOA. Hope you're doing well.
You bet, Jesse. Thanks for the invitation. It's exciting to be with you again and sort of tell you a little about the conference we had. As you mentioned, it was in Omaha. It's the second conference that PBPC has hosted. The first one was in Washington last year. So it was an exciting opportunity for our members, folks across the value chain, from growers to kind of bio-based manufacturers and processors, to folks on the consumer brand facing, to a lot of folks in government, to get together and talk about these issues in a pretty holistic way. Kind of fun to see folks who grow corn and soybeans, and also folks who process everything from algae to wood-based products, corn and soy, of course, sugar, a whole range of feedstocks, wheat straw. And so it was a nice opportunity to kind of set back necessarily from the feedstock-specific conversations that we often have and think about what does the industry need to develop and kind of what are we doing on the policy front to kind of tackle some of those hurdles in the U.S.
Well, and James, I know that the lineup of speakers you guys had for the conference as well, I mean, touch on that a little bit. You mentioned kind of getting a lot of different folks, different stakeholders together. You guys had a pretty impressive lineup of speakers and really getting a lot of great minds together to talk about some of those priorities, didn't you?
We did, Jesse. We were really lucky to have folks, like I said, from across the value chain, but throughout government as well. Being outside of the Washington Beltway, we took advantage of the opportunity to really focus on sort of the grower conversation as well. We started with a kickoff on an Iowa corn farm, had a number of folks visit some of the bio-based processing facilities just north of Omaha in Blair, Nebraska. Some kind of great examples of the work that's being done and has been done for 10, 15, 20 years in the space. But speaker-wise, started with a corn grower from Nebraska on the first panels. We had folks from American Farm Bureau, Sam Kiefer was there, and wrapped it up with conversations with a grower panel talking about sustainability. Also very lucky to have not just sort of that grower perspective for some of our members, but also the government perspective, state, federal, local, you name it, we had great representation. The folks from Nebraska's congressional delegation all addressed the group virtually. We had Governor Pillen from Nebraska, who's a huge champion. He and the state have done a lot to sort of develop this issue this industry in Nebraska and sort of kind of focus on the hurdles. He was there for a recap and a wrap up on our last day. We had folks from USDA, kind of senior advisor to Secretary Vilsack with us the entire time, the Rural Business Cooperative Administrator, folks from Department of Energy, Department of Commerce, and then also folks, like I said, state government and local government from Illinois, from Nebraska and elsewhere. So a pretty good mix across the country and across the range of government and across that range of industry as well.
Well, let's turn our attention to some of the priorities that I'm sure you guys no doubt discussed at the conference, but you are discussing in general on Capitol Hill, I'm sure, and more for the Plant-Based Products Council. Obviously, Farm Bill is top of mind for many folks here still as we're trying to get one done. I would have to think that's one of the top priorities of PBPC here in 2024, James.
It is, Jesse. Like many of your listeners, I assume we've been watching the Farm Bill and engaged in the Farm Bill conversation for a little while now. And optimistic with kind of what House and Senate leaders are, continuing to focus. I know that the chairman in the House has talked about a markup here in the near future. And so excited, hopefully, to see some steps forward on that process. But as of the priorities go, it's really focused on where the challenges are in the industry. We look at things like the BioPreferred program. It's been around for 20 years, but improving that program, making sure that the agencies that are participating are doing so in a way that really kind of, creates demand and sort of utilizes the products that are available. And particularly on the labeling side, we look at the terminology. At this stage in the industry, there's a lot of activity happening. There's a lot of innovation happening at our universities and sort of startup businesses. But making sure that we all agree to what certain terms mean at this stage is really important as the industry continues to grow. Looking at some things like just the data and the tracking, things called NAICS codes, the way kind of industry classification codes are done. And then, of course, we've got the hurdle on the innovation side. This country, we're really good at bright ideas, getting them in the laboratory, but the challenge is bringing those to scale. And so looking at that sort of that pre-commercial infrastructure need as well as some of the current programs that USDA has on the loan side, I'm looking at some grant options as well. And so sort of a range of options that address some of the challenges that the industry sees, We think now is an important time to look at them through the Farm Bill and elsewhere. You know, this industry isn't just developing in the U.S., but there's a lot of interest in activity as we look to competitors around the globe as well, particularly looking at Asia and Europe marketplaces. And so now is really the time for the U.S. to think about policy that's supportive. And that was a big part of our conversation, but also to your point, a big part of the conversations we've been having for a while on Capitol Hill.
Well, and, you know, with the Plant-Based Products Council, James, of course, you kind of mentioned it, some of that innovation and more. You know, we have a lot of great ideas here in the U.S. and trying to find, you know, so many different sustainable uses for plant-based products here and developing these new products. You guys have a lot of resources available for folks from the PBPC and more as we just kind of continue to evolve and look at the different products that could be out there potentially for us to develop, right?
That's maybe one of the most exciting parts for me at the conference. I mean, the information exchange with our speakers and sort of the activities were all, you know, great to see, but particularly the relationships among members, folks at different points in the value chain, maybe some that grow feedstock or process feedstock and others that turn it into products that consumers utilize, folks that are looking at the renewable chemical space, folks that were looking at sort of the more traditional product space. And so a wide range of kind of what's being made from crops in this country. And I think that's the most exciting part is just the sky really is the limit. I mean, there's a lot of activity happening. I mean, I think you look at USDA, 10,000 plus products are just in the biopreferred program alone. And we know that the industry, as it's developed, you know, isn't all participating in biopreferred. And so there's a lot of that activity happening and pretty exciting to see folks across the country engage in the business, kind of swapping ideas and thinking about ways to improve what they're working on.
Well, I know folks can learn more online, pbpc.com. With that, James Glick, Executive Director of the Plant-Based Products Council. James, thanks so much for joining us here on the show today. Appreciate the time.
You bet. Thanks, Jesse.
And with that, we are out of time here today on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Extreme cold temperatures put your vehicle to the test. Cenex premium lubricants are made with quality ingredients to keep you going. Learn more online at cenex.com. On the next AOA, we're going to talk the cattle market with Dr. Daryl Peel from Oklahoma State University. Cam Quarles with the National Potato Council will stop by, and we'll also talk ag news from Capitol Hill with Meredith Lee Hill from Politico. All that and more coming up on the next AOA. We're out of time. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day. When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.